Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about social justice, the Mercy World, the Catholic Church, our center, or our programs. Today, my visitor is Margaret Bowater. Margaret, a warm welcome and Haida Maita Already program.
Thank you.
Margaret Bowater is a long experienced tutor, supervisor, dream facilitator, counselor, therapist, and co-founder of the Human Development and Training Institute. She is the author of several books on dreams.
Two books.
Okay. Yes. But two very special books on dreams. And she's a member of the International Association of the Study of Dreams. For many years, Margaret has been facilitating workshops on dreams at the Mercy Spirituality Center. Among others, she offers introductory workshops, workshops on death and grief and healing, inspirational workshops, and workshops on nightmares. This year, Margaret is offering four different workshops on dreams, each with a special focus. Margaret, you've been working with dreams for many years. How did this interest in dreams start for you?
Well, I discovered basically the relevance of dreams when I was training to be a counsellor and psychotherapist. It was stirred particularly when I was invited to join a practice group of they were people exploring dreams who had attended a major dream workshop in Auckland and were now practicing the skills. And so I joined in, and I was immediately delighted with what I discovered and keen to continue. And we had 3 years in that group practicing on each other with great delight.
So it was that work group that fascinated you also?
Absolutely, yes. The practical way of exploring into a dream, listening to the different characters of a dream speak, considering the language that's involved, realizing how dreams sometimes can be either very funny or deeply moving, a whole range of wonderful experience available.
Was that also the time that you started writing down your dreams, or did you do that before?
That's when I started writing them down, yes. Mm. Mm.
So what is your goal when you teach dream work now?
Well, I want to rouse everybody's interest in the processes that are going on inside them. The internal process of dealing with the day's input of experience, insights into what is disturbing them and what is helping them to heal, how the dreams can possibly assist them in their wrestling with the problems of their life, how dreams can offer meaning into deep levels of their being.
And you've experienced that all by yourself.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's what the first thing that kind of hit me when I was in the dream workshop practice group, that we all had insightful dreams, and we all valued what one another in the group could offer to help us make sense of them.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengako Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. Today my visitor is Margaret Bowater, and we are talking about dream work and dream workshops. Margaret, as I mentioned in the beginning, you are offering five different types of workshops at the Mercy Spirituality Center. The workshops have numbers, 101, 102, 103, and then 201 and 202. What is the difference between the series that starts with a 1 and the ones that start with a 2?
Well, the 101 is obviously the basic one, and that's where I do the basic teaching about the theory that you need to know in order to be able to work successfully with dreams. And I don't cover all of that theory again in the other workshops. I touch on it, but it's systematic in the introductory one. The 102 workshop, I should go back to the 101. The sort of things that I cover there, why do we dream? how does it relate to sleep, and what are the different phases of sleep? What is the structure of a dream? The step-by-step process of how to work with it, and the different types of dreams that we have, along with some theory to understand all of that.
So the 101 is a 9-hour workshop.
That's right. It's longer than most of the others, yeah. Except the second one is also quite long, because I'm dealing particularly there with a particular range of dreams, which are often quite powerfully visionary, to do with end of life, experience of those who have briefly crossed the line into death and been resuscitated or come back, and the healing dreams that people have when they're really intensely anxious and concerned about something. And so I have, plenty of experiences of those kind of dreams.
Maybe we can go through the different dream workshops one by one. So we start with a 101, and as you said, it's an introductory workshop, which gives you the basis.
Yes.
So that you also, the ethics that when you share your dreams, that it stays within the group that is there.
That's right, yes.
And then you said the, of course, the biological part with the sleep
brain.
Phases.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and people get a manual with it?
Yes, I give a manual with each of the workshops. The 101 is always fascinating, because most of the people who come have done very little in the way of dream work before, and they bring powerful dreams from their experience, and everyone immediately becomes fascinated, which is, of course, one of my first aims.
It's also, they have dreams of very different types.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a beautiful dream. It can be a nightmare. It can be all kind of dream.
Yes, including visionary dreams and including psychic experiences in that first workshop, which usually astonishes a lot of people to hear people talking in an ordinary kind of way about their psychic experiences and discovering that at least half the group have had them, so if not more. So all of that is part of the introductory workshop. So I don't need to sort of bring examples except my own example, which I use for the structure of a dream. I also, depending on the group that I'm working with, may include some significant dreams from the Judeo-Christian Bible, which of course is full of dreams from beginning to end.
Yeah, especially with Joseph, the dreamer, in both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament.
That's right, yes. And even Jesus himself had dreams.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Right, then we move on to the dreams of death, grief and healing, which I've started to mention.
So that's the 102?
That's the 102.
And that's also 9 hours?
That's also 9 hours, because I include a video about people talking about their near-death experiences. These are people who've actually had a near-death experience and what it was like, which is very enlightening to the rest of us who haven't had one, because there's a lot of commonality in them. Now,
do you have an example of such a dream?
Yes, I'm thinking of a particular young woman who had major brain surgery and was really quite deeply affected by the outcome of the surgery, such that her caregiver thought she was probably dying. And she did come close to it, and she talked about how she felt as if she was in another world altogether. I'm just looking to see if I can find the example that I had in mind.
Is that in the manual?
Yes, it's in the manual, and I talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so that also helps the participants if they can reread it.
Yes, and talk about it and see how the person who is in a near-death experience goes through typically a tunnel or a dark space, and depending how long the experience lasts, they may go on to meet a figure of light, which is very, the light is very empowering, and often they don't want to come back, but they obviously have come back, either because they were resuscitated or because it kind of naturally happened that their situation improved. These things happen not only in hospitals, but also in accidents and powerful, there are some very, very powerful experiences that have been recorded perhaps the most promising, well, the most enlightening one that I've come across is the story of Dr. Eben Alexander, who has written a book called Proof of Heaven about his experience when he was almost dead as a result of extreme cerebral meningitis. And he had a week in hospital in which his brain became totally scrambled. And since there were no, he was not responding to any of the treatments that he was being given, they gave up hope. They thought that he would never be able to recover. But he did recover against all the odds. And after having sort of got his brain together again, he remembered that he had been on a tremendous spiritual journey while he was in this state. And since his brain was scrambled, he wanted to point out to everybody that it is not your brain within which your spirit goes on a journey. His heart was pumping away successfully, all right, but his brain was out of action. And when he was able to put it all together, he wrote the story of the spiritual journey that he went on, which was a very long and amazing one with several different stages to it. But he also was able to write up what was the medical story of what was going on medically and what was happening to himself physically and socially. And putting that all together, he now stands very firmly on the ground that the spiritual existence of our humanness is not simply an epiphenomenon of the brain. It is something that belongs to the deep human centre, which maybe it is centred in the heart. Who knows?
The soul.
Well, certainly the soul. Yes, anyway, that's one example of
So it took him a while until he could record it, because so that means that his brain must have captured the memory of it.
Yes. And that was what, you see, his brain wasn't working.
Yeah.
It wasn't his brain that remembered, but he was able to bring it into memory as a result of de-scrambling his brain again. So, I mean, it raises lots of very interesting questions.
Yes.
And points out to us that there is much more to being a human being than simply a physical construction that operates on certain physical principles. There's much more to it.
And you also said that you might have, even a fetus might have dreams already.
Yes, there is evidence that the particular pattern of brain, which we call REM sleep, is present in babies before they're born and after they're born. And in the sleep of newborn babies, about half of their sleep shows this REM sleep pattern, which means that they are experiencing internal processes. And since they're newborn babies and can't yet see anything much, these are mostly to do with feelings.
Yeah. And so it's amazing also what you said, that many people dream who have near-death experience have a similar concept of darkness and light. And when we go back to the Bible, we say that
yes,
there was darkness,
yes,
there was light.
Yes. The power of the kind of light that people see in the spiritual eye, on the spiritual journey, is enormously attractive, and people come back. One of my trainees came back and said that she'd seen this light when she was actually suffering severely from pneumonia, and she said it was so beautiful I didn't want to come back, and yet her family were waiting for her, and she loved her family. It wasn't that, it was the power of attraction of the light.
And so that's 102.
Yes.
So you have the preparation, then 102 are quite difficult dreams, and you, as you say, powerful dreams often. And then 103 is another of the kind of introduction workshops?
No, 103 deals with the really the history of dream work in bringing into human consciousness powerful dreams that have shaped the history of the world. And, you know, we can include a lot of the visionary experiences recorded in the Bible. We have a look at those. There are also powerful visionary experiences that have made a difference to political movements, to scientific discoveries, to creative endeavors, from novels to music. We talk about all of that, and we find that even today people are still having visionary-type experiences which urge them or encourage them to take part in certain kinds of activity or to take leadership in certain roles. And so we explore all of that. That's just a one-day workshop.
Yeah, and I think that there are also a lot of musicians say that this song, yes, the tune came in the dream.
Yes, that's right. Yes, came through the dream. Like Paul McCartney said, he woke up with this beautiful little tune going on in his head, and he sleeps with a piano close by. So he got up and immediately played it on the piano, and then he began to sort of develop it a little bit. But he thought he must have heard it somewhere, but nobody else identified anywhere else that they'd heard it. He'd heard it in his dream. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, the song Yesterday, it was called.
Yeah. Mm. And then the next workshop is the first one that starts with a 2. So that's, yes, 201, yes, Resolving Nightmares.
Yes. And Resolving Nightmares, I called it a level 2 workshop because it touches into kind of deeper level, more painful sort of experiences. Well, depending on what people bring to the workshop. And it is, what I want people to understand is that nightmares and other kind of disturbing dreams really must be thought about. You must stop and think after you've woken up from a nightmare. Usually it'll wake you up anyway. And that's like a metaphor in itself. Wake up, pay attention. And think about what it is in the dream that makes you so afraid. And so in the dream story, it will be parallel to something in the person's life which still frightens them, and or it may be that it is something that they are currently very anxious about and expecting that there could be real harm come to them. So in the workshop, we work with the nightmares that people bring, but also I have a series of examples. And people see that when you actually stop to think and create a new pathway for a better ending, from then on, if the nightmare repeats, it doesn't have to repeat in the old pathway. We can actually begin to change the outcome. And what that does is begin to shift the person's response to whatever it is they're afraid of by beginning to think sideways, that there are other ways to handle this. Usually, or often I should say, nightmares begin with some fairly dreadful experience when you're young, and when you're young you haven't got the intelligence or the environmental knowledge to deal with it. But as you are much older, by the time you turn up at a workshop anyway, you actually have a whole lot more life experience and a lot more understanding of what you can do to help yourself. And so using the nightmare as a kind of miniature example of a story, you can begin to create new pathways for yourself in your life. So nightmares are not, well, it is considered that everybody has some nightmares, maybe one a month or thereabouts, and we have to extend the definition of a nightmare to cover disturbing dreams that really upset you. And what we need to know is that they should be thought about, they should be talked about, and the ones that are post-traumatic dreams following on from a violent emotional shock, they particularly need to be talked about so that you begin to soften the impact of the shock on yourself. Other people can help you to make sense of it and to understand why it is so shocking. You can, again, you can fairly rapidly create an alternative ending, but you also probably need to go on talking about the particular situation that generates or generated a post-trauma dream.
Because it's both the experience and what was before,
yes,
what could happen,
mm-hmm,
and in a way it reminds me a bit of a ski instructor who told me the first thing you learn with skiing is to learn how to fall.
Yes, mm-hmm, yes, and what you need to learn with nightmares is that you can actually stop being a victim. Because if you just let the nightmare repeat and repeat and repeat, you go on feeling like a victim. You feel that your life is not your own, you can't handle it. But working with nightmares, you can actually learn how to handle them.
Mm-hmm. And then the last type of workshop we have here for this year is the 202, mm-hmm. and that repeats through the whole year. Mm-hmm. It's a series of skill developing groups.
Yes.
Can you talk more about that?
Yes, that's available to people who've been through a 101, so they actually have learned the basics, and they want to go on working with their dreams, especially if they are spiritual directors or counsellors or therapists or health professionals of any kind to whom people bring dreams and say, what does this mean or what should I do about this? And so in the 202 workshop with a maximum of six people, I act as a coach while they learn, practice counselling each other. And when the groups get to know each other, when they trust each other, the depth of the work that they do is amazing. And I am always very delighted with those workshops.
Mm. And so for all these workshops, do you have to have a dream? What happens if you don't have a dream?
Well,
or you can't remember. You might dream, but you might not be able to remember.
Yes, there are people who come to the 101 who say, I've come because my daughter's here or something like that. I remember one woman saying that. On the third session, she said, I had a dream. So, like, the dreams are going on internally anyway. They're in your mind. And the question...
Or in your soul.
Or your soul, both, yes, depending on how deep it goes. Must train yourself to pause as you wake up in the morning and identify, was there something going on in my mind? If so, write it down straight away, because otherwise it's only in short-term memory and you lose it very quickly. Some people have alarms that set a radio going. Well, that will wipe your dream out of your mind. But the best thing is to give yourself a few minutes of pause, quietness as you wake, and just check what's in there. You won't always catch a dream, depending on where you are in your sleep cycle. But you should catch maybe one a week, one a month. Whatever you catch is important.
There might be just the experience from the day before.
Yeah, well, yes, although they think now, the research suggests that it's more to do with stuff that's been on your mind longer than just the day. Maybe 2 days or a week. A week later is a time when you're at the same point of the week and the same sort of thing might be recurring that brings it back to mind. But whatever is powerfully emotional going on in your life, and even if that's in the background, you are likely to be dreaming about it. And anyone who is bringing problematical concerns to a counsellor or a spiritual director or a priest or a doctor, they will be dreaming about it. And if you can tap into what your dreams are expressing, then you have another source of potential wisdom to work with. And I find, as a therapist, that when somebody comes to me with a dream, the dream will take us straight into the heart of the matter.
So listen to your dreams and try to remember your dreams.
And record them.
Record them, write them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take a while, so it's better to set the alarm clock earlier so you have time to write it down before you have to go to work.
Well, even if you only jot down a few words and maybe a little diagram or something and then come back to it while you're sitting on the bus or whatever.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes.
Because if you have an extended dream, it might take you half an hour to write it down.
Yes. Well, that kind of extended dreams really can give you some absolutely fascinating stories to work with. Yes.
And I think sometimes it's also difficult to write it down because it's not necessarily a structure that can be easily written down because you have different levels and then you don't know where to go first. Mm-hmm. So maybe a picture is quite good.
Pictures are good, yes.
Yeah, that can recall the dreams. And
yes. Mm.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for this insight into dream work.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for coming to the center for presenting these workshops and inviting people to join. So for all these workshops, please register with us. And if you've done the 101, you can do any of the other workshops afterwards.
That's right. Yes, and you can actually do the other ones if you've read my book, for example.
Which one?
Well, The first one on Dreams and Visions, Language of the Spirit, is out of print in New Zealand, but you can possibly get it from the library. But recently I published the book Healing the Nightmare, Freeing the Soul, which gives a summary of the way that I work with dreams and quotes some 80 examples of people who have had a nightmare, worked with it, and were very willing to let me quote it.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
I think examples are always helpful.
Yes.
Because then that might trigger somebody yes. else's experiences.
Yes.
And also relieve a person of thinking, oh, what a stupid or what a yeah. weird dream.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
even want to tell it. But,
yes.
Yeah. Or some people say, well, I know what it means. I don't need to share it anymore. But then yes. again, as you say, in the groups, there might be an aspect.
Yes.
That the person or herself
that's often
would not
the case.
Find it.
Yes, we do sometimes have people say, well, I think I know what it means, but I brought it to the group anyway. And by the time they go away, they've got another three possibilities of meaning as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Right.
So what else is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? Today, Friday the 13th of March, we will start with a Lenten series this year with Sister Anne Warren and Sister Catherine Wiles-Packard, four Friday mornings from 10:30 to 12:30. This is an opportunity to reflect on the cross through music, scripture, reflection, prayer, and times of silence. Tomorrow, Saturday the 14th of March, from 1:45 to 4 p.m., Letitia Puttenpadat is going to facilitate a Lent reflection according to the Ignatian tradition. On the 18th of March, from 10:30 to 12:30, Richard Kerbel is going to present a muffin talk at on the meaning of kanohi ki te kanohi, face to face, and the meaning of being present in Te Ao Māori, the Māori world. Reminds us it's the year of presence. And on the 27th and 28th of March, we will have Margaret Bowater with us. And this will be the second type of dream work, so dream work 102, about dreams of death, grief, and healing. So it would be good if you had participated in 101. Could have been this year, but it could have been last year or the year before.
Mm.
Or has done some reading, like reading the basics. And, yep. So that's on the 27th and 28th of March, and it would be great to see you there. And if you have any questions for Margaret, please send us an email. And you can register with us also through the center at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycentre.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a wonderful week ahead. Thank you, Margaret, for having come.
Thank you.
In mercy.